Blog Talk Radio.
No, no, no. Man, what the hell is wrong with you? Can't you get anything right? You got this big girl vibes and kind of just as much. Can you come outside? I want to show you something. I said I'll be back there, little honey bun. Well, I was hoping she had a naked lady alone in the back of my pickup truck. It turned out I wasn't so big deadbeat brother who turned my pickup truck into a hunker jump. What the?
Ladies and gentlemen, was for the state of Montana and the Lakota Tribal Council that we're going to be talking about today. We want them to come on and get their act together because there are some things that they have got to get right. And we are going to talk about some very serious things today. Now, I just got out of church, so Breaking News Journal is, we never do a program on Sundays except for very important reasons, and today is one of those. And it seems, and we have a very special guest on today who's going to talk to us. His name is Mr. Keith Andrew Edmondson. He is in Montana. His wife's name is Kimberly. They're an interracial couple. They are the children, well, at least Keith is the child of the historic Mr. Edmondson, who was one of the first interracially married, the first interracial couple married in the state of Colorado, and Keith is from Colorado. But we're going to talk today about the fact that the state of Montana, the local government, and there has not been supporting him as they took his children away because they want him to renounce his Christianity and other things. So I put that song on because it's a bad song, and we're not going to take any more mess from all these people, and Keith is going to tell us why. Hi, Keith. How are you doing today?
Good afternoon, sister. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, just fine. I just wanted some get up, fight me music on today.
Well, that'll do it.
That'll do it. I want everyone to know about your situation. Judy McGee, my darling, she used to be our director for, she's our retired director, I should say, for A Place for Us National. She still keeps in touch and keeps on the ball. But she's also, your mom and her and your dad were married. They were the first interracial couple married in the state of Colorado. And I want, but your situation is very, very serious, so I want us to talk about that. Now tell everybody what is happening, how it happened, and we're going to start naming names because I have the counsel information up here, and I don't care if you have to use it in court on Thursday, so let's go.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you. And your husband for putting me on and trusting me enough to share my story. Everyone's stories are not believable, but we thank the Lord that through prayer and through fasting that he puts you into our lives. Also, just like to apologize to those folks that were looking forward to us speaking on Friday, because part of the maturation process was having to go through the judicial system on Friday and sacrifice being with you because folks
were
acting crazy. We just, you know, that's first thing first. But what's happening is that my wife and I are located here in Big Arm, Montana, which is right outside of Polson, which is one of the major cities here. And we really love where we live. There's some decent people here. The folks, it's called Flathead Indian Reservation, and it's one of the only tribes that is not where the feds don't have any real monitoring. All the other tribes around us, the federal government can come in and make requests and do things, but this is one of the only tribes where they don't have jurisdiction. I didn't know that until I didn't need of some information and needed some help. The tribe is called Confederation Salish and Kootenai Tribe. CSKT is their initials, and anyone can go online and find out anything pertaining to them. But their tribe that, as I'm finding out, really does nothing to help anyone that's outside of their tribe. So if you're in need and if you have some situations that are arising and you need help from them, these aren't the folks to go to get the help because they're not going to help you. And let me help the listeners to understand, here in this reservation, you have the sheriffs, you have the local municipal police officers and servants, then you have the tribal. If you're non-tribal and you get stopped by a tribal officer as you're going through different towns, they have to call the sheriff as well as the local city police. Okay?
Oh,
this is
God.
How serious it is. So if you get stopped as a sheriff or police officer stops a tribal member, they have to call the tribal police to come and get the person. So you have different entities on the reservation and different government, different administrations, different police functionings, and so it's confusing to some folks.
Does the council serve as a federal government or something like that?
No, they're government unto their own. They're a nation. The Confederated Salish Kootenai Tribe is a nation unto itself. Okay, there are some
like
treaties
the United
signed.
States, like the United States, but it's only their own nation.
Yeah, So it's a closed tribe. That's what it is, really. It's a closed tribe. And so what's happening is that, and I need to preface this, so since we're going to get deep about
this.
Okay, the ideal is Indians hate the white man, but they despise the black man. Okay?
Oh,
I want
God.
That to be very clear. We hate the white man because he took the land. He subjugated you to the lowest levels of degradation and humiliation.
Mm-hmm.
But you despise the black man because we speak up.
Mm-hmm.
We defend ourselves. We stand up. We went through slavery. We just didn't take it. You understand what I'm saying? And because we rose up from the ashes and we just didn't become, you just can't give us a bottle. You just can't give us a piece of land and say, okay, we're going to babysit you, and now you're an extended version of our family, but you're our child, and we're going to babysit you. It didn't happen like that to us. And so there's some animosity.
What do they feel about those of us who are black, who are part Native American, American Indian? I'm Choctaw, Navajo, Arapaho Indian. I mean, just because my skin is black, they're going to automatically try to discount me?
Yes.
Well, they can forget
so
that. They didn't do nothing about
DNA. If you were waiting for something deeper, it wasn't coming. The bottom line is this. There are more fair-skinned individuals, pale-skinned white folks walking around who have full access to tribal benefits. They are tribal. They have the ability to, they have first descendants. They are recognized as part of this particular tribe. Now, these folks have blonde hair, blue eyes, just as white as white can be. You would never think that these folks are tribal, but they are. But in their minds, because it's such a small community, Montana is the fourth largest state in the union, but it has there's only a million plus people in the whole state.
Okay.
And it makes up of 2% of black folks is what exists here in this state, and majority of those are incarcerated. Okay.
What?
So when you look that up online, and all this stuff is factual, it can be found. You know, we're not spilling sour grapes or trying to chew on some things, some dried raisins or something.
Mm-hmm.
What we're trying to
mm-hmm.
do is let people mm-hmm. know that the realities are that because you're not in a zone where you see African Americans every day, then we are out of their mind. Just like Native Americans, most black folks don't even know that Indians really even exist, except for what they see on TV. So what happens is that because they don't know our culture, because they don't know us, because the only thing they see is TV, athletics, rap music, that's the imagery that they have of most of us. And when you try to tell them, well, I'm Indian too, the first thing they want to say, well, you were slaves first, and we allowed you to come in to be a part of us. Okay.
So what did they do? What did they do when they lost their land? They didn't stand up for themselves, and so they're going to get angry at anybody who stood up for themselves.
Well, it's not all that. See, all tribes are not like that. You have various tribes that do take care of their people. You got some tribes that don't give a doggone about their people. But we're talking specifically about this tribe here. There are, mm-hmm. you know, the Indian Nation, the Native American people are great people. Are great people. They've gone through as much turbulence and turmoil in their own relationships as it goes to America as so many other folks. But just as in the pockets of the African-American community and the Hispanic community, there are factions that don't defend their own. They don't look out for their own. And so there are pockets that you can go through this whole country where there are folks that just ain't doing what they need to do, not only for us, but for their own people. So, you know, so I don't want to put it out there so that people think, well, all Native Americans are right. No. They're great people. But when you're dealing, I'm only talking about the folks that I'm dealing with. And the people that I'm dealing with have yet to demonstrate to me that they have any concern for my welfare or my wife's welfare. We had a situation where I spanked my 15-year-old stepson for lying, for stealing, for hiding clothes. He's a bedwetter. We're trying to help the brother out. He's hiding his dirty underwear. He's hiding things. So I'm at the end of my rope. You know, folks are saying, well, you could take him to a psychologist. Well, you know, we're from the old school. No, we ain't going to no psychiatrist. Just get up, quit being lazy, go downstairs and pee. You know, but in dealing with him, you know, we prayed. We're a family that prayed. We're a family that spent time at the kitchen table every night for 2.5 years. You know, we did homework together. We did everything together. And you come to a place as a parent where you go, Lord, I don't know what else to do. You bring home the school laptop and you're watching porn on the laptop. You bring home permanent markers. This is what kids are doing now. They're huffing permanent markers. They're huffing Axe cologne and body spray. They're huffing Cool Whip cans. So we're finding all of these things in backpacks, and we're finding these things hidden away. So you're going, okay, devil, this goes beyond the norm, and we need to address this as a spirit coming from the enemy. And so as parents, you know, I'm 52 years old. I'm old school. You know, we don't beat our kids. We don't abuse our kids. We don't curse our kids out. We don't slap them around. We don't do none of that. But there comes a time when you must deal with your child in the way that you were dealt with. My father spanked me. He didn't abuse me. I turned out okay. And so what the tribe believes in, this is what they believe in. I don't have the exact page, but there is a training parental training manual for all Indians. And in this training manual, because I voluntarily went, me and my wife, to a parenting class by the tribe, we volunteered to go. They believe in embarrassing the child. They believe in teasing the child. They believe in shunning the child. They believe in putting it at a distance to make it feel less than part of the group. So as it is embarrassed, it will cause them to come back to the group. Oops. This is what I heard with my own ears, with my own ears.
How disgusting.
And so this is what they told me in the parenting class. So I asked the guy, well, what happens if your son, who is 17, gets up in your face, slaps your wife, his mother, and starts dragging her around the house? I'm going to call the police, he said. Well, what if the police don't get there and he's still beating on your wife? Well, then I'll get down on my knees and ask him to stop.
Oh, God.
I said, really? So you let your wife get beat up on, you let your son slap you around because children are precious to you, while he's calling you all kind of names, spitting on you, manhandling your wife, his mother, all you're going to do is get down there and ask him to stop. I said, in our community, that calls for a beatdown immediately.
Okay. Seriously.
Okay, so this is what we were dealing with. And as we were going forward, as we were in this parenting class, they told me, as a black man, I had no rights on their reservation because I was a former slave. My ancestors were former slaves. So that I had to be a part of, assimilate myself into their culture and take on their culture, because I was on their land, so that everything that I do now has to be done from their tribal perspective, to give up my African-American ways, 52 years now, I told him, give up my African-American ways, and most importantly, most importantly, give up Jesus. Most importantly. So I said, well, you know, I'm always going to be black, so that ain't, my skin ain't going to come off.
Yeah, Lord.
But above anything else, I'll never refute. I'll never give up. I'll never give in and say that Jesus is not mine.
Amen.
I'll rather go to my grave. I'd rather go to jail. I'd rather do anything in this world, the most horrible thing you can think of, than renounce my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So this is what these people told me. This is the tribe. They took away our children, conspired together, these teenagers, because why? Number one, all their friends were smoking and drinking and getting high in school and having sex. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We told them, no, you enjoy being a teenager. So no sex, no getting high, no hanging out at parties. You can't go to the parties. We do enough stuff in a home as a family. We don't.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need that. Enjoy being a teenager. No.
Mm-hmm.
So their older sister, who is married, and them, they conspired together to some plan they formulated. The next time anything happens, the next time you get in trouble, if you ever get a spanking, this is what we're going to do. And so they called CPS on us.
Mm-hmm.
I spanked my son, you know, 10 times, hitting with the belt, getting beating. I wasn't continuously going crazy and screaming and hollering like you see folks do in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
It was 1, 2, 3, let me talk to you, man. I love you. You need to, come on now, you need to just stop.
Mm-hmm.
Hit him again a few times, talk to him a little bit more. But what happened is that because he's white, his skin is pale. When the prosecutor saw the pictures from CPS, they blew it up to about a 2-foot poster board.
Mm.
Okay.
Oh,
and
wow.
They blew this picture up so bad so that if anyone saw this, they would go, oh, that is horrible. Well, he's pale.
Mm-hmm.
And, the marks on his behind are going to leave bruises. But what he failed to tell people is that he had injured his back and injured himself snowboarding and sledding, so it led to almost a puncture kind of in his lungs, in his kidneys. And so the prosecutors try to say that I created damage. And, of course, our pathologist, Dr. Bennett, who's done over 18,000 autopsies, and he's a pathologist, he said there's no way that this kind of damage could have came from a belt. This is an expert, a worldwide expert. And but the prosecutors were, oh, he abused him. He took advantage of him. And, you know, they lied and said that we made him put his wet clothes back on. They lied and said that we made him do so many things, and this kid got up on the stand himself and lied. So what do you do? So the tribe steps, the tribe had stepped in because this kid went to a counselor. When the tribe stepped in, they took all three children. Now, according to tribal, the tribal laws, the tribal rules for CPS workers, they're supposed to at least try to reunify.
Ah.
Counsel the parents. They're supposed to meet with the parents and see if there's anything they can do for reunification.
Right.
But they said no to me and my wife. Leave him. They told my wife, if you ever want to see your kids again, you're going to have to divorce him.
Oh, my God. You've got to be kidding me.
No. Hear me. I have this recorded on my phone that I saved because I asked him, can I record this conversation I'm having with you? Because I said, what about me? The head woman of the tribal CPS says, we're not concerned about you. We don't care what happens to you.
Ooh.
And we don't care what happens to your wife. And if your wife ever wants to see her kids, she's going to have to divorce you. If she wants
to get her kids.
Oh, I have it recorded because I asked them. This is how bold they were. They called my wife all kinds of names. They called her. Oh, my wife was a foster parent for over 9 years, never had one incident, Ruth, never had one incident that was foul or investigated. She's a foster mother.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do their due diligence in checking out her past. They didn't do anything to look out to see she's a first descendant from this tribe.
Mm-hmm.
But what they said, because I'm a black man, understand this, and the minute they saw me, let me say this. When I went to go talk to them the day after our kids were taken, when I showed up at the CPS, I knew I was going to jail.
Oh, Lord.
I looked at the man's eyes, mm-hmm. the sheriff, and this guy carried on so much at the trial, it was ridiculous. But I knew then, and the Lord told me, you might as well get ready, because this is what's getting ready to happen to you.
Oh,
and I want
the
listeners to I want the listeners to understand something. My skin is black. That's not going to change. But this is not about so much racism as is it about the righteousness of Jesus Christ being put on trial here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because
Absolutely.
That's what this is what it really comes down to. It's not we're just one of many parents who are going through this. There are parents all over. I got friends in South Africa who are enduring the same thing. Friends in India who are enduring the same thing. Friends in Pakistan. This is a universal spirit amongst young people because they're being desensitized through videos, through what they see on TV.
Yeah,
16
right.
and pregnant. Excuse me. How do you even make a show called 16 and pregnant?
I know.
How do you make a show about being a teen mom where kids are purposely getting pregnant? Kids that I've taught, that I know personally, trying to get pregnant so that they can be famous
and
get
on TV. Exactly. But see, that's their whole agenda. People don't real. I didn't realize until recently that all the things that our children were watching, all the things, all the MTVs and VH1s and stuff like that. People, you need to cut the cord. You need to cut all those TV programs out. I mean, really, you know, get rid of cable and everything else. Our children have been dumbed down. We were probably one of the last generations of people. I think Judy was. She's on the line, and I'm going to have her come on in a minute. But her generation was probably one of the last ones that really was free and clear of all of this dumbing down. But they have been working for this to take God out of our country, to take the family away from, to take our children away from traditional family values. And now they don't give a squat what anybody says. And the American Indian tribes, and I am one, my family did not come from slavery, they were sharecroppers. But I do know this, that I will not tolerate racism of any sort around my children or anything else. I did not raise them to be that way. No wonder our society is so screwed up. It's because you got all this underlying racism. They're going to lick the butts of somebody that's in the federal government or somebody who has white skin, but then they're going to try to turn their back on somebody else. How despicable. The council, a Lakota council, you are despicable. I hope that everybody in this country listens to this program. If this is what you're doing to some to people, you really need to really get your act together.
Well, let me help you out so that we are clear, because that's a fine point. It is the council of the Confederated Salish and Kootenai. This is a council. We can talk about the Lakota. That's where my wife's from. But these folks here are Salish and Kootenai, and it's important
to note that
this is the Confederated Salish and Kootenai. This is the tribe that's here in where I'm at on Flathead Indian Reservation.
Mm-hmm.
They are the ones these are the council folks that have to be addressed, because the bottom line is that these folks here are people that you know, they've been giving handouts, they've been giving gifts from the government, reparations from the government. And my whole point is, if someone comes to you that is in need on your land, just human decency suggests that you should at least try to help them. Look to see if what they're saying is valid, Look to see if it's concrete. Look to see even if it has any merit. Because what you're saying to me then, they just had the great Michael Cooper of the Los Angeles Lakers here. He did a basketball camp at their college. Okay?
Okay.
He just did a basketball camp. The great Michael Cooper, I met the brother, talked to him, and I'm like, we're good enough to come here and promote your activities and raise money for you, but we're not good enough for you to defend us.
So the celebrities need to understand that this is where I'm at. These celebrities need to understand the racism that's going on there, and they should I don't know if they want to boycott them or not. I'm not going to get into that, but they do need to at least know that these places will use them, and they don't have any respect for them as an individual. And if they came there and they didn't have the title on their name, that they would be despicably treated, and that they would not be respected at all. These are things people need to understand. You know, they need to know this, and this is happening all over the world, people. He just got through explaining this to you. It's happening all over the world. It is time to really be able to educate our kids and stuff. So what do you suggest? Now, you have to go to court on Thursday, right?
Yes.
And what is that going to be about? And then I'm going to have Judy come in your mom, the history about the first interracial marriage in Colorado, and I want you guys to talk. About that too. Go ahead and tell us what happened.
I'll share this in brief. I was facing 40 years in jail, 40 years in prison, for assault with a deadly weapon. The deadly weapon being the belt. I was facing felony with aggravated assault. As what I know, you have to take a probation screen interview, okay, so to see if you're worthy of probation. Well, my case falls under a misdemeanor. This is the first time that the probation officer said, as well as other folks, that a PSI has ever been ordered for this type of trial, for this type of case. First of all, it's unprecedented. So I'm looking and going, okay, that's unusual. There are other cases where men have put guns to people's heads that were loaded that didn't do any jail time. I'm facing 6 months
You've
now.
You've got to be kidding me.
No, and let me finish this. A guy that put, stomped on another guy's head. These things are out here in Montana law. You can find them. The guy was in the hospital for almost a year to recover. He didn't go to jail. Time suspended. They want to put me in jail for 6 months, okay? So when I stand before the judge on Thursday, this Thursday, and I'm requesting prayer from all the good Christians and saints around the world to pray, because, again, I knew the minute that George Zimmerman was acquitted that I was in trouble.
Oh,
I started praying and fasting then, because I said, and I knew that everyone associated with this trial was nervous. They were probably hoping that man was going to get jail time because they wouldn't have to deal with what they're going to hear from me on Thursday. And the bottom line is the Lord Jesus, this is what people have to understand. These folks read the wrong verdict at first as I'm standing there. They read the wrong verdict. And I'm going, 20 years, my God, I got to do 20 years now. But I had resolved in my heart, Lord Jesus, I'll do whatever I have to do for you. Because my right, first of all, I'm not a missing father. I'm not an absentee parent. I'm in the house. And you know, most white folks think that most black males ain't worth a nickel. And we are missing fathers. Our own president has talked about missing fathers. Black men step up to be fathers. Well, I was a father to children that wasn't even mine. I was in the home. But if I hadn't been in the home, you know, these good folks here would have been like the old prototypical black guy. You know, not present in the home. Well, I was. Or in the home every day praying for my kids.
And
my daughter,
and you said
my wife,
You served our country, huh? too. And you served our country, and this is the thanks that, that military men get when they come back from serving?
Well, you know what, the problem with this is that when people don't know you as a culture and they don't know you as a people, they view
as
you
person.
As a black man, and they view you as one of two people. Either you're Martin Luther King, nonviolent, or you're Malcolm X, by any means possible, by any means necessary. I made it known a long time ago, I'm more Malcolm X than I am Martin Luther King. Love both men, but I'm not the turn the other cheek. Man, I'm not that guy. And we're having to deal with my wife's daughter, who is putting horrendous things on Facebook. This is the part that I want the listeners to know about this trial. Okay, I want them to know. My judge who oversaw the case, I believe, is a fair judge. So I have nothing against the judge. I want that out there. A good judge. She was fair all the way around. The prosecutors, that's another thing. They were a little outside of their realm. But this young woman has been putting stuff out on Facebook about her, about me, about her mama, the kind of stuff that no mother wants to hear or read, and inciting other people to get involved. I feel like my life is being threatened. I feel like my wife's life is being threatened. This is a right to stand state. So if you feel like someone is threatening you, you got a right to do what George Zimmerman did.
Mm-hmm.
Here, I'm a black man. I am a big black man.
Mm-hmm.
I speak my mind. So what's going to prevent this woman from getting up in my face and talk crazy? I've been called, excuse me, listeners, I've been called nigga more times here by Indian people than I have in my whole 52 years of living. I've been called nigga to my face. I've had doors slammed. And this has been by my own stepchildren in this family I pray for every day. So this woman is threatening my wife. I went to the Pulsar police. They couldn't do nothing because she's tribal. I went to the sheriff. I called even the FBI. I went to the tribal police, who didn't really even want to talk to me, and I want to talk to the council, and they assured me that it was going to be taken care of. She'll never do it again. The first time they said they couldn't do anything because there's laws against electronic communication out there. Well, Montana is the only state in the country, ladies and gentlemen, that does not have cyberbullying laws at all. So here I am between a rock and a hard place. This young woman puts this stuff out on Facebook. They told her not to. The sheriff finally catches up with her to tell her. She posts on Facebook the day after the sheriff talked to her that the sheriff told her she didn't do anything. I mean, that the police captain of the tribe told her that she didn't do anything wrong. Absolutely nothing wrong.
She's getting away with this. No matter what, you know, and
no matter what.
No morals and no values. They
no
obviously
morals,
have no morals and no values.
No morals, no values. So what I said then, it is apparent to me that a black man cannot receive the justice that he's due. Now, I know what most folks are probably thinking, some of you out there. Well, why don't you move? Why don't you go somewhere else? The Apostle Paul wrote two books of the Corinthians while in Corinth, a corruptible city. He wrote two books in Thessalonica. I'm not going nowhere. This is where the Lord Jesus sent me to minister. And if Paul can endure it, I can endure it.
Amen. Amen.
You
well,
have to go into all.
Go ahead. Finish what you're saying, because I have Judy here, and I want her to say something to you.
I was just going to say, I stand on the shoulders. I'm not an angry man. I love my country.
Yes.
I am so proud to be an American. This is the greatest country on the planet Earth. But she has not been doing African Americans and people of color right as of late.
But you know what? This is a spiritual warfare. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against spiritual wickedness in high places. So she's able to go to the places that she needs to go to and do whatever has to be done to be able to justify her evilness. And this is happening all over the world to be able to break down these structures. It's happening everywhere simultaneously, and people they're barely starting to find out what's going on. I just found out about 4 months ago what all is really starting to happen here, and it's happening all over the world. One world government, people. You know, this is part of what's getting ready to structure the whole thing. And so this is a very serious thing. Listen, we have Judy on. Judy, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Judy. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the history-making Judy McGee. She was married to Keith's father, and they were the first interracial couple in the state of Colorado. They were the first ones to have a license, marriage license, in the state of Colorado. Welcome, Judy.
Well, thank you very much, Ruth. It's a pleasure to be here, although I have to say that my heart is broken.
Yeah.
Listening to what Keith and Kimberly are going through.
Yeah.
Keith is not my biological son, but he is still my son.
Yeah.
And my heart aches as if I were his biological mother, having to hear of these things that he, as a man, as an American man, as an Afro-American man, as a man whose heritage and whose family strikingly made this country better, to hear that he and his wife are going through this.
Yes.
Prayer is the best thing in the world. And I hate to make light of it when I make this statement that prayer is the only thing that we can do. It's the best thing that can be done. But I am asking the people out there to please, please pray for Keith and his wife, that justice is done to them. His dad and I went through a lot of things. We got married in 1957 and literally had to leave our homes. But we set out to show that love can do anything. We set out to show that all men truly are created equal. We were young, 16 and 17 years old, but we had the courage to fight so that things that are happening now wouldn't happen. It is better, but it's still not there yet. And our children are being destroyed by these forces. I see it every day. You know, when Keith talks about how he was brought up, I was brought up. I got whippings when I deserved them. I wasn't abused. I spanked my kids when they needed it. They've never said they were abused. But you see these kids out there today, their parents don't have time for them. They don't have any respect for anybody. They're rude. They're belligerent. They don't care about anything but themselves. And it's a lost generation. These parents need to wake up. They need to be more parents like Keith and Kimberly, like Ruth and Steve, like me and Andrew, Keith's father, that tried to teach our children the values of life and to love one another. I know, you know, that I can't keep talking. You know me, Ruthie. I get on and it bothers me about all the injustices in the world.
I know, and all of that.
It really bothers me. I'm 72 years old now. I'm not in good health, but I have fight in my heart and I have fight in my mind to once again say, America, we are the greatest country in the world, but we need to wake up.
And we're losing it.
God bless you, Keith, you and Kimberly.
Yes, I agree.
And
I
hope everything works out okay for you Thursday. And Ruthie, thank you and Steve for all the years of your life that you have sacrificed, not just because we're interracial couples, but all we want is respect. All we want is for our children to be treated right, to be treated by their character and not the color of their skin.
Amen.
God bless all of you, and
God
thank
bless you
for letting
I'll talk
me
to
share.
You later. You're more than welcome. What is it that you want people to do right quick before we get off the air, Keith?
More than anything, and I just want to thank everybody for just taking the time and thank my mom, Judy McGee, and thank you and your husband again. I just want people to share my story across the country because there are people out here who don't have nobody.
Mm-hmm.
There are folks out here who don't have a Ruth White to fight